Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving, gracious presence, Lord, thanking you that you're here in a way that you have not been here in 2,000 years. Yes, we could take it right back several thousand years, Lord, the time of Moses, and at the time also of your resurrection when you led captivity captive and you had an exodus then too, an order on the verge of one. And we know, Lord, there's a great message at the end time just before the resurrection and the rapture. We know, Lord, that the spirit of wisdom, revelation, and knowledge yourself comes into the church, showing us the deep mysteries of God, the time we're living in. So may it be our portion tonight to know these things, Lord. We know that in your wisdom you set it forth, it should be so. And we want to be very amenable to it. We want to take our place, Lord, in your great government. So feed our souls, Lord, with food convenient for us tonight. Give us the truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, this, I believe, is Melchizedek number 19. And we still haven't gone very far, but I believe we'll be able to work quite rapidly after we cover certain basic factors, of which I think we've covered perhaps the most. Now, in this message, Brother Branham has been teaching us very clearly that every son of God, save Jesus Christ himself, bypassed what he called a theophonic form, a body, a word body, a spirit body, and we have been made to take on flesh, which is subject to sin. And you'll notice that condition is spoken of over here in Romans, the fifth chapter, 12 to 14, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is a figure of him that was to come. So we see here that the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We don't sin the way Adam sinned, but we are in the flesh, tempted in these bodies, and we do sin. And of course, we know we sin, and it's reckoned to us as sin, except in the case of justification to the elect. Now, however, after the baptism with the Holy Ghost, we are in a position, being born again, to be enabled by the Spirit to walk in the Spirit as well as live in the Spirit. For it says in Romans 8 and 1, a few verses there, therefore there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Now you notice where the Spirit of life is. It's in Christ Jesus. And then from then on it comes into us. That's the same as saying God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. So you see what life and what spirit it is that we become heir to. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh. Now that's the flesh we had to come into, bypassing the theophonic form. God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. Took upon himself the form of man, not the nature of angels, but came as the seed of Abraham, like a human being, and it said the likeness. Didn't say he was sinful flesh, because he was not. He was not in the likeness. In order to shed blood, condemned sin in the flesh. He judged it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Now, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Now that's a statement right there that we're all prone to put aside because of experience and wrong theology. It's the same as I said Sunday morning, that this business of this great ethereal magnification of I and you and me and all and the Father, we just go floating around on the beautiful breezes of stupid Pentecostal Latter-day goofyism. Look, by the baptism with the Holy Ghost, by God indwelling Jesus, that one was in Him, in the Father, and the Father in Him. And we have the same experience by the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So don't try to make it some great big thing. Now I'm going to be so-and-so. You're going to explode like a toad full of buckshot. And I don't want to be around when you splatter. That's right. It's not just ignorance, it's pride, spiritual pride. Can't you take just the little simple thing? No, it's too simple. You can look through a hole in a donut, but when God writes something on the wall in flaming fires, it's just too much. Now, I'm a little sarcastic, but I got to get my point across. And I don't know any better way than to just take and beat the liver to death, you know, if it's going to be too active. So now the same thing is here. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you are baptized with the Holy Ghost. Now that's too much to take, because we want to put all kinds of strings on it, all magnified, and do this and do that. And this is where we fail, because we make God a liar. We are just as obnoxious with our stinking pride as the devil is. See how important it is to just take the Word of God the way it is, and don't add a word to it, and don't take a word from it, but just to understand this, hey, I'm in the Father in me. In that day, you know, I'm in the Father, and you and me and I and you. Now that was at Pentecost, and Brother Branham putting certain emphasis upon the Scripture as to give it an extended and more glorious meaning, said that happened at Pentecost, it happens today, and will occur at the White Throne again. But every single person that is born again is following the distinct pattern of Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham said, we parallel our, as sons of God, and exactly like Jesus Christ, except for one thing, where He had a theophonic form and set it down and took upon a human form. We never had ours in the first place, but when we die, we go and pick it up and come back and get our glorified bodies and go right like Jesus. Now that's what the teaching is. And anything else, brother, sister, is ignorance, spiritually induced ignorance, and pridefully kept degeneracy. Now, it's all on tape, just the way I said it, and I'm not going to take it back. And I don't think I can repeat it. I got it right the first time. I know what I'm saying. I have no business being up here if I wasn't. Now, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now remember, the false anointed never get that far. Now, watch. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His, proving predestination. If you are a son of God, you will be born again. Then you'll be just what it says here. And you can say, well, praise God. I didn't ask to bypass that theophonic form. I didn't want to bypass it. I know nothing about it. I was put down here to be tempted. I'm running my course. But I know in whom I have believed and persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm going to go to that place where there isn't any sin. I'm going to get my claim and my deserts. And I'm going to stand on this earth like Jesus Christ, and though all hell come against me, I will not be tempted. Now, you'd be tempted right now. There's coming a day, there'll be nothing to tempt you. Just walk right along in the faith of God, and you're a part of it. Now, it says, if any man are not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, and it tells you flat, you're going to die. I don't care how baptized you are with the Holy Ghost. And I don't care if you're so Spirit-led, you get in the morning, now tie the left shoelace. We don't have shoelace anymore, hardly. Put on the left oxford, a pump or the speaker, or anything. Put on the right. Look to the left. Look to the right. Look up. Look down. You can be all soul led of the Spirit and you're still going to die. Dead or not, doornail. though you're hit by a Sherman tank and gone through a shredder. I don't care how good you are. How full of the Holy Ghost you are, how led by the Holy Ghost you are, I care nothing about it. Paul the Apostle died. John the Revelator, most marvelous Christian, Polycarp, died. And they were so full of the Holy Ghost, you could boil John in oil, wouldn't do any harm. Put Polycarp to the stake, and he couldn't burn. How far have we come? We can't even open the kindergarten school doors. They die. So you see what we're talking about? Don't let your mind go beyond the word as to what truly obtains. When we get this straightened out, we will now be able to climb the stairs of a sanctified, beautiful life. But the beautiful lives do not come until we understand this. Because you can see the whole thing must be a motivation of the Spirit that lies in the Word. Absolutely. You can't get away from it. Now listen. It said, but if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. You're going to die. I don't care who you are, but because you got the sentence of death in it, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now he's talking about a person. And he's pointing now to the resurrection. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead. And who raised up Jesus? God raised up Jesus. And if the Spirit of God is in you, the same God that raised Jesus from the dead has absolutely got to raise these bodies from the dead. See? The dwelling in you. Now we notice that. There's no problem. Now, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you do the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of bodily. Does that mean, well, if I live a godly life like John, there's John's out here living in the flesh somewhere, and Paul's out here living in the flesh somewhere? Hogwash, they've gone back to gases. He's just telling you here that a person who is truly born again has heard, as Brother Branham said, from his theophany, and he knows that though that body cannot be tempted, he is now in a position by the grace of God to override all temptations, to really live a place of victory. We have all the propensity to backslide 1,000 times a day, but we don't have to. No, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit will lead us in paths of righteousness. For his name's sake, it is very evident. After we're full of the Holy Ghost, baptized with the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Ghost compensates us for having bypassed our theophany. That theophany which cannot be tempted and which would have given us a power through a knowledge. And experiential knowledge would have given us a power through experiential knowledge, being fully aware of the eternal glory so that we could not sin. Now, Jesus was that way. We aren't that way. See, we live here in the flesh. And so we've got to cope with the flesh. Now, we're going to start reading a part that we read before, and I'll read it rapidly. From page 1573. But when you become subject to the Spirit, it throws your whole being, body, soul, and spirit, subject to that Spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. And that Spirit is nothing in the world but this seed word, quickened, made alive. In other words, he's telling us what I've already mentioned here concerning our theophany. When you are born again, you literally understand that there is a life that is above sin. And there is a glory that we will enter into. Now, it's going to be a while to get there. Now, it's been made alive. It's quickened. And when the Bible said, don't do this, that body quickly turns to it. Now, notice he's talking about the body that receives, that was formed under sin, shaped in iniquity, is tempted by sin. He said the body, because of the Holy Ghost, quickly turns to what the Bible says, and there's no question. Now, Brother Branham talks about the greatest battle ever fought. See, so remember that point. We'll get to it later on again. What is it? It's the earnest of the resurrection. In other words, when we come back in the resurrection, we'll have our theophonic form with it. And as I said right there, we'll be absolutely invulnerable. You say, well, I don't need to be because there's nothing there to bother me. That's entirely beside the point. I don't understand it, but that's what the Word teaches us. We're going to need it for some particular reason. We're going to have it. Now, this body will be raised again because it's already started to rise. How does he mean it started to rise? Because it's in obedience to the Word of Almighty God. It's in obedience to the Spirit that lies in the Word. And so, therefore, it's already obedient. Potentially, when the call of God comes, it has to rise. See? It was once subject to sin and mire and corruption, but now it's got the earnest. The earnest is the down payment. It's turned, it's consequently turned heavenly. Now, that's the earnest that you're going in the rapture. It's the earnest. So, the baptism with the Holy Ghost positively lets us know we're going to be in the resurrection, and positively lets us know we're going to go to the Word body, which is there waiting for us. Now, he said it's the earnest. It's the down payment. In other words, it's not just the baptism, but living with the power of the Word within us to live that life that is available to us. Now, in the earnest, now that's the earnest. You're going in the rapture. And, of course, there's two understandings of going in the rapture there because we have the earnest. Number one, we're born again, so we know we're going. And number two, the pillar of fire, the earnest himself, God himself, has appeared on the scene, which was absolutely a prerequisite to the resurrection. So we understand that. All right. Now, our bodies are all getting ready to change because the inner man has listened to the voice of God, and it's in the process of going into what would be called a resurrection, actually without death at this particular moment. 74. Now, Brother Branham is going to illustrate. Illustrate the resurrection by a healing. A sick person lying there dying, nothing left but dead. That's all that can happen. I've seen the shadows of people eaten up with cancer, tuberculosis, and then see those persons a little while after that perfectly normal and strong. Now, that's what he's talking about. You can leave here a complete emaciated wreck, whatever it is, pass into the theophonic body, and if somebody could see you, which other people of like stature can see you up there, like Brother Branham was allowed to see them, visions beyond the curtain of time, you'd see a perfectly young, wonderful human being. There wouldn't be one thing wrong. And Brother Branham said, now that's just not a healing, that's a miracle Brother Branham's talking about. It's a miracle of healing. And he said, I've seen him, and I've seen him myself in Brother Branham's ministry, stand right up within a perfect form. And absolutely normal. Now, he said, if there's no divine healing, then there's no resurrection, because divine healing is the earnest of the resurrection. Amen. In other words, healing, God heals people, proving definitely there is a place where your body is one day going to be perfect, because healing in itself is not an end in itself. The resurrection is an end in itself. In other words, that's it, you've arrived. But you could be healed many times, you're still going to die. The same as I said a while ago, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. You have a righteous spirit that guarantees you eternal life, that when you leave here, you'll go right to your theophonic form, then come right back pick up your glorified body. Now, so, and remember, Brother Branham also said, there's no such thing as a true healing revival unless there's a new message. So he had God himself descend with the shout, and the message is the message of the resurrection, the presence of God. He said, my message, my ministry is to declare that he is here. And I ask the question, what is he here for? Well, number one, Brother Branham said he's here to put the church in order. Number two, he's to raise the dead. And he's already put the church in order, and putting the church in order by the living Word of Almighty God. And we've learned something in this Melchizedek of a church order we never learned before. We're beginning to see it all lined up before us by the words that the prophet brought us. Number 75. You know what the earnest money is, don't you? It's the down payment. He was wounded for our transgression, with his stripes were healed. Now, that Brother Branham's referring to the fact here, as he said in Romans. He said, for the spirit of him that raised up Christ and did dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body through your spirit within you. And just before that, he said, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. He said, don't worry. He said, the sentence of death said you're going to die, and go ahead and die, I'm going to die too. It doesn't make one bit of difference, because I am going to go to my theophonic form and come back and pick up my resurrected form, and we take off for eternity. See, there's no problem. And so therefore, we see the baptism with the Holy Ghost is the earnest. It's actually not just an earnest in the sense of a token, but it's a literal manifestation of the guarantee, hey, this is it, because a token is a guarantee. See, there's another thing wrong with us. We are such a bunch of lousy, crummy liars, and we are so evasive when we talk, and we're so suave when we talk, and we have so much duplicity within our hearts as we talk, that we don't know the Word of God is real and God means what He says and says what He means. Like years ago, an oath of confirmation ended the whole thing. Say, do you mean to tell me that this is true? Shake hands, brother. You got it all. If you try that today, they'll sting you left and right. You wouldn't dare try that to believe anybody. And that goes against us because we can't believe this Word. Now, you see, if you really believe what I'm preaching, that we'd just be so relaxed tonight, we'd have to have somebody come and pick us up. We could hardly get our joints together. Like jellyfish. We'd just plumb relaxed. Because, see, God swore by Himself. He didn't ask you and me to say one thing. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. God became His own mediator. God became His own bond, His own guarantee. And He said, I give to a part of myself another part of myself. You're 50% God. Only 50% person. Act if you want to go by your spirit. And the truth of the matter is, if you never mind the body, that's just a case, that's just a conduit. If you want to go by the truth, you're 2/3 God and 1/3 not. And if you want to throw the body, you're 50% God. Sure, because your soul is the seed of God. That's God. The Holy Ghost is God. So if you got 2 spoonfuls of God against 2 spoonfuls of a spirit that God allows and another spoonful of dust, you got 2 spoonfuls of God, 1 spoonful of dust, and 1 spoonful of another nature. Another thing. 50% God. And if 50% of our being God cannot overcome 50% that isn't God, there's something wrong with God. That's just mathematics. Not even good mathematics, except it's very, very true what I'm telling you. See? Now, he said here, the earnest money was, he was wounded for our transgressions, with his stripes we healed. Now, that's what he did upon Calvary. But what did he do? He delivered our souls, and in delivering our souls, he had to deliver our bodies. So if healing is in the atonement, then it would have to show forth resurrection, because healing has to do with the body. The blood has to do with the soul releasing the life to come back upon it. So he proves it. So, now, notice, 76. How wonderful, we love Him. Now, this body is subject to the Spirit. Now, he said, this body is subject to the Spirit. Okay. That's quite a statement. It would refer, first of all, to the predestinated. Now, if he says the body is subject to the Spirit, I'm going to just use those words and start looking a few things up. Because I'm not convinced that Brother Branham only spoke one language. He spoke many languages. By which I mean there are many meanings to what he said, and you can take all of those meanings as long as you go to the Bible. So let's go back to 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 15 and verse 35, and let's begin to look at the resurrection, which is an end for the human body. And I ask the question then, if that's the end, what about the start? Because there's no such thing as an end without a start. Alpha's Omega. You got to have an Alpha if you got an Omega. See? So if you got an alpha, there's got to be an omega. There's omega, there's got to be an alpha. All right. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? With what body do they come? Fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except to die. And that which thou sowest not that body that shall be but a bare grain. It may chance of wheat or some other grain. But God giveth it a body, as it hath pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now that's what I'm looking at. Now this body is subject to the Spirit. This body then, and every body is subject to whatever life is there to determine the body. Right? All right. We go back then to God Himself, who is Spirit. And God is the great wheat seed. Now remember Brother Branham said, let's take a little orange seed. Now, every single orange that will ever be is already in that seed. Every true child of God that would come by flesh, predestinated, would come by Adam. And was already in Adam. And the potential in there, which is full potential of production, was given a means whereby generation after generation after generation, until the last generation, the seed plays out, and God take them all home. Now that's the same with the original first grain of wheat. It's the same with the first horse, the first cow, the first sheep, first dog, first anything. The full lay in there. And the life determined the body. Right? Then if we actually go infinitesimally, now don't use that word infinitesimal like you use the word infinitesimal. Use it with the understanding, though microscopic. And in that particular sense, infinitesimal, it is so explosive that if a cup of water can blow New York off the map, this one little seed from God with a glorified body could rip universes apart or put them all together. So just don't get carried away with stupidity. And stupidity, I mean, a false humility of downgrading God. Now, it's okay to downgrade the beast. It's okay to downgrade anything. But it is not okay to downgrade a son of God. No way. So, God being full of seed. Right. Spora. Not sperma, in this pretty case, is more like a flower. The word spora, like grass, and so on. God being full of seed. Then within each seed lies the body. Yeah, absolutely. And it will form the delineation and configurations within it from the material that is available for it. Understand? And what if there isn't any material available for it except what itself is of? In other words, when God gave birth Himself, and we read over here in Hebrews, which I read many times to you, we read it again, who being the brightness, the outraying of His glory, the very expression of His substance, before there was ever a speck of stardust, that seed had within it the ability to produce a body, and therefore would produce a theophonic body or a theophany, because that's all it had to work with. Now, I'm telling you, I'm sticking my neck right up because of Brother Branham. And I'm ready for the white throne. fact, I'm a bit of a fighter, and I don't want to be nasty with anybody, especially with God and His servant. But Brother Branham laid down the law. He said, the word eternal means never had a beginning, never had an ending. And he lets us know positively that wherefore there was a speck of stardust, one atom, one movement of air, there was anything, a light began to form. And I want to ask you a question. There's nothing to form it from what was doing the forming, God. And that's what it says right here, that Jesus was the outraying of God, and He was the essentiality of God. I don't care what anybody says. Now, we bypass that form that would have automatically, because of its intrinsic essentiality, produced a theophany. In other words, it would have produced a God form because the seed is God. And it's as simple as a dog is a dog, as a pig is a pig, as a horse is a horse. And I say, Brother Dale, the humans, you shut up and listen. The dog wasn't in Christ, the pig wasn't in Christ, the horse wasn't in Christ. Those are all creations. We are not creations, we are spin-offs. We are a spin-off of God. Or I don't know what Brother Branham was teaching. And personally, I wouldn't care. Because it'd be too mixed up for me to follow. And I tell you, I never did appreciate Brother Branham. He said, you study nature, you get all your answers back to God. And I never did believe it. I could never figure it. But the last 2 years, I've been using nothing but nature. So I know I'm where the prophet is. Now, he's way up here, and I'm way down here somewhere. No, I'm not. He told Brother Hickerson. He said, Brother Hicks said, right now, I'm up here, and you're here. When I'm off the scene, you'll be up there, and I'll be gone. So we know what the prophet was teaching us. Sons of God. Jesus said, I came forth out of God. I was born of God. I issued forth from God. And we do the same thing, but we miss what the Spirit would have formed. So, God speaking, Brother Branham said, the Son and the Father speaking said, let us make man in our image. And we were not the outraying. See? Now we were the outraying intrinsically, but not in the form. So we took upon another form. Jesus had to lay aside that form and come and take our form. Then we lay aside this form and take that form. And we come back and pick up a glorified form. That's wonderful. But you see the picture of seed and the understanding of this. Now I tell you what this is going to do for us. This is going to make us conscious of the God race and the priesthood order of Melchizedek, which is not a lattering bunch of claptrap and balderdash. What I'm talking about will make you start praying for Mary Allison and getting a grip on yourself, looking for places that Brian and Mary can come down and move to. You're not doing it. I'm not so strong, but I'll be looking. We've got Roger and Carol Sue want to come. They're getting desperate. Now, we're not trying to get people to move into here. Especially as I'm getting old enough, I can't take care of them. But they've got faith in you people. You hear what I'm saying? It's not just me. They've got faith in you people. I'm looking in the eye. So some of you better get right down to be worthy of the faith they're putting in you. I'm not being hard, just telling you. Because some of you have been kind of snotty, and I don't like it. You know I'm rough up here, but I can't understand you. You tell a sinner down the street about a husband, would you tell your brother? I'm not being too critical. I just know it isn't being done. Danny Henry wants to move down here. I'm not saying he should come down here. I don't want anybody moving down here as far as I'm concerned. But if we can help him, we're obligated to help. That's the real priesthood. Not some highfalutin, stupid idea where you pontificate and talk about how great you are. But you put your money where your mouth is. You put your energy. Now, some of you are doing. You're doing a great job. But y'all got to get blanket coverage. Everybody needs to be working for each other. Now, don't overdo it to make yourself a nuisance. That's possible. Very possible. Now, we've got Rob trying to move down here with Laura, and they already are moving to a degree. We're not trying to build a church this way, but look, these people want help. And if we can help, we're going to help. I don't know how Brian's doing tonight, but it's about time the boy had a line up. If he can't get down here, his wife's pregnant the way she is, and we know what the baby's going to do. We're praying and believing God with all of our hearts and trying to help. If he can be home tonight, have the phone. There's no cost. Doesn't care if it's got $60, $100, $150 a month. That doesn't mean one thing. Get the message up to him. And we got the lines. Pete would do it in 15 seconds. All he's got is, hey, Pete, get on the line. And Brother Pete went ahead, trusting God. He's the man that paid a lot of money to put these lines and things in. We didn't do it. Brother Pete did. I appreciate that. I don't want to bring up everybody's what he's done, but Roger the other day bought all the plates. I paid Mona for plates, so he paid for the rest of them. Just trying to relax. I'm a little rough on you. I don't be rough on anybody. But hey, look, these people are serious. They're desperate for all I know. In the meantime, then, it doesn't behoove anybody to picket anybody, but believe everybody, help each other, and go on down that road. Now, I've said a little piece, but it's all part of the message. Got to understand these things. These people need help. I thank God that people ever helped me, but I want to tell you one thing. I went through a lot of rugged roads of no help, no help, no help. I got to the place of being utterly bitter until I came back after 9 wasted years of saying, I'll trust God through hell and high water, come what may, and I never had to go through hell. I didn't have too much high water. I had a lot of icy roads and storms and everything else I could have got killed on. Kicked out of churches and everything else because I dared to stand up for the word of Almighty God. And I'll tell you, it's worth it, brother, sister. For a little tiny bit I know about God, it's worth it to put your lives on the line, because there's no way you can love God and serve God outside of loving and serving your brethren in Jesus Christ. Don't get tangled up on personalities. There's some little thinking thought here and some little thought there. But press right in to serve God and help people, because that's what it's all about. Now, what was it talking about? Yes, I'm talking about right here, the seed. Talking about the seed of God. God, almighty seed giving a body. And you know what happened? Brother Branham in this hour pinpointed that body as Melchizedek, the priest serving. And we are of the royal priesthood. And one of these days, brother, sister, having served each other and thereby served God, and you know that's in the 25th chapter of the book of Matthew, absolutely they were so anxious to help people, they didn't even know they were serving God. When did we go to prison and help you? When did we give you a couple of glass of water? When did we come and do in the hospital? When did we put some clothing on your back? You know, Eunice, and do you know who your neighbor is? Your neighbor is the person that helped you, and you know you're supposed to love him next to God. This is a good little question to ask. How many people do we really know that we can love next to God? In other words, how many people really helped us? That's not the point. How many people have we really helped? Then if they don't love us next to God, we being a neighbor, because that's who the neighbor is, the man that helps you. How many good Samaritans we got today? Oh, it's vital, brother, sister, to know this. Now, this is what we're talking about, of living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. We will be so energized as Jesus was, knowing these things and doing these things. Who cares two bits about temptation? We're too busy for it. When you get too busy to be tempted, that's a marvelous situation. You know the old saying, the devil always finds lots of work for idle hands to do? Yeah. Well, let's get God's word going. We can, see? Understanding this is a great thing. So, we were looking at this body here. God gives it a body as it hath pleased him. Now, so, let's keep going now. The Bible, John was speaking to Jesus. That's John Nicodemus in the book of John. He was talking to Jesus, and Jesus said, Nicodemus, you must be born again. Well, he said, how can a man be born again? Can he in the second time his mother's womb? And Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Now, I ask you a question. Are you born of God? Next question, how many times? Now, if you're born of God, you've got to be spirit to begin with. because you're seed. Right? That which is born of spirit is spirit. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's exactly right. But you've got two beginnings, and so did Jesus. He bringeth the only begotten, first begotten into, not the inhabited world, but into being. Now, he brings us into being, but not the way Jesus. Now, we are born, therefore, through natural generation. But we should have had the bodies that come from the supernatural generation. And when you are a generating force, it means you are a living force, and God is a living force. And every part of God, and every seed of God, so to speak, is a living force. And a living entity thereby. So he would be productive. But God cut him off. Cut him right off. Cut you and me off. We have no recollection. We have no memory. We've got nothing to do with it, except it's ours. It's got to be waiting for us. And we came down here, and we're going to go back there and pick it up. So that's why I've talked about this, because Brother Branham said here, now this body is subject to the Spirit. And there isn't a body that's not subject to the Spirit of whatever life is there. Because it delineates or blueprints what is going to come forth. Now, listen, if we can get an understanding, and I don't have it. I can preach it, and boy, I can sure preach it, and you know I can. I don't really practice it. But you know something? If we really understand what I'm saying and fill the channels so that other channels, no other channel, and no channel can be filled with anything but the Word of God, we'll begin to have that word flow out the way it should flow out. Now listen, you understand what I'm saying. In your mind, God, the big circle with all the seed. The little seeds lay in him. Now, if they had been in the form of Christ, which is the correct delineation, there could not have been any channels that would absorb anything contrary. But we bypassed it. And the seed is now not in the true configuration, but in a physical configuration, so that the channels are open. So we don't resist sin like we should. We got to fight in a battle until we die. We, like Brother Branham truly said 1,000 times a day, backslide and have trouble. See? The original could not possibly have been tempted or any problem lie therein. Now, it's up to us to so fill the channels with the Word of God that out of that will proceed the life that we're talking about, though we have bypassed the theophonic form. Then in that condition, we will be loving and kind and merciful and uplifting and correcting people with the Spirit of Christ, not having confrontations. Now, I've had some confrontations. Sometimes they're necessary. Because in order to avoid confrontation, it takes two people in Christ to be motivated with the same spirit. Can't do it by yourself, one person standing there. Now, Jesus Christ had to have confrontation, but he never had it with his own. So we're looking at the seed here. We're looking at the body subject to the Spirit. That's why Brother Branham preached, dove leading the lamb. Don't tell me that a dove's going to light upon a wolf or a dog or a pig or a balky old horse or mule or a jackass of some description. The Holy Spirit comes upon the lamb because the lamb is the type of the configuration that God's own light had to take being stepped down. Now, but as we understand, we will soon be to the position of the outraying of God and coming back with the immortal garb of Jesus Christ Himself and the glory of God to shine, which will be the true assessment of God. I say these are the things that are going to change our lives. I've been all through the other. It doesn't work. You can pray. You can fast. You can take every measure you want to oppress yourself or to bring yourself under some guidelines. It isn't going to work. And if it didn't, wouldn't do any good anyway. Because if Abraham hath whereof to boast according to flesh, let him do it, but not before God.
Amen.
And he's one of the finest examples ever lived. And then comes Joseph and some of the rest of them. See, everyone. Now, this body is subject to the Spirit. Now, this is predestination. I don't care if we did bypass the theophonic form, we're going to get it. We are predestinated to this. Now, this body is subject to the Spirit. Have not yet entered, we've not yet entered the Word form, but we're still in the flesh form, but subject to the Word. Death in the flesh will take us there. Now, when you read this the first time, you'll go legal. Just as sure as you're alive, you'll go legal. We have not yet entered the Word form. We're still in the flesh form, but subject to the Word. And right away you think, well, I got to get down and humble myself to it. Yes, that's right. You will humble yourself to the Word. But the point is, if we're truly children of God and born again, we are already humble to the Word. And by humble to the Word, though that's a poor expression, I've used it. Let us say we're congruent with the Word. Because we are Word, we're living on the Word, and we love the Word. Now, so therefore, Brother Branham is saying here, not that you are becoming subject to the Word, as though you're giving it a precedence. You are so made, and I am so made, that come high tide, read Romans 8, separation, no separation rather, famine, tribulation, nakedness, perilous sword, life and death, it doesn't matter. You will positively make the resurrection. Now that's the kind of faith you and I are having in these messages and what Brother Branham brought us. It's no longer something, brother, sister, that is an active faith. It is a passive faith of revelation that becomes dynamic through God Himself. Within the vessel that God has prescribed, because we're in that vessel. We are still in the flesh form, but subject to the Word. In other words, even though we pass the Word body, we're subject to it. Now remember, beyond the curtain of time changed Brother Branham's life. Nothing else. The visitations of God by the pillar of fire. I was in his house that day when that handwriting appeared on the wall by a pillar of fire, and he looked like a hunting animal scared to death. That never brought it. The great and mighty healings never brought it. The raising of the dead boy in Finland only brought controversy. What he did over there in Switzerland only made the people say, oh, he's got a devil, he's a spiritist. When he got behind the curtain of time and came back, he saw where he came from and saw what it was all about. Now, Jesus Christ had that. We don't. But our knowledge of it makes us to know by vindication that this is it. And by our faith in the vindicated theorem, we know we're just as good in the curtain of time as Brother Branham is. Now you got to understand that. And here's where the strength begins to come as we understand and accept our brethren. And that's the tough one, because we all have our own standards, not God's. And our own ideas. And we like to project them. We haven't learned to sit back enough, fast enough, and long enough to become mellow. We must learn under this message what it is to ripen. And that's to simply sit under it and listen until the channels are full. And the more the channels are full, the more you and I are going to be temperate. Because the servant of God, number one, is temperate in all things. We talk about love, and we talk about a lot of things. And I'm going to tell you, every single thing in this world is spoiled without temperance. Let's remember that. That's your prime quality we're thinking of tonight. Now we're subject to this word. Not thou shalt do and not do. Not this and not that. But we're subject by the life to take the form that has been predestinated by the delineation that lies within the life. And the delineation of God was, first of all, a spirit or a word form, body. He said, stop it right there, number one, and that's all. But he didn't veto it. He just stopped it right there. He said, put him here, then bring him back, then bring him back again. You know that Jesus has got to come back into the inhabited world again? He's got to be born into this world again by coming back on a white horse. And we are going to be born into this world again by coming back on a white horse with him. There's lots of begottens in the Bible. We're all part of it. Should make you love the Lord, Brother Branham. He just talks right about loving the Lord here. All right. Now he's going to illustrate about the whole thing here. Just the same thing. The illustration. Think of a little baby. You can take a woman, no matter how evil she is, when she is pregnant and fixing to be mother. Watch before that baby's born. I don't care how cruel the woman is. She gets real kind. There's something about her seems godly to see a little mother fixing to become mother by the baby. What is it? That little body. 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 What do you call it? Body. Now, do you and I dare call it otherwise? Now, see, that's the thing. The body is a manifest delineation. No two ways about it. It's your genetic pattern brought into what should be a sympathetic environment. And empathetic. It's not that any longer. That little body. Now it's what? The body's not yet alive. See, the only thing it body is just flesh and muscle. That little jumping, that's just muscle jerking. But when it, the body, comes forth the womb, God breathes the breath of life into it, just like in Genesis. Then he, not body this time, screams. See, just as sure as there is a natural body being formed, for what? Whatever is doing the delineating. She's not going to bring forth a dog or a pig or a pretty rosebud. Maybe like the rest, she likes geese. Bring forth a little goose, a little gosling. No. After the kind. Now, maybe it's sarcastic. I'm bringing a point out here. It's going to be a little baby boy, a little girl, whatever, human. Now, just as there is a natural body being formed, there is a spiritual body to receive it as soon as it gets here. What? The body. But it takes a seed to make a body. And what's in the DNA, the RNA, the genes, and so on, is not there in a chemical measure, as though the chemistry was all that counts. Chemistry doesn't mean anything without life. That's where your chemists, your science are all screwed up. They're so messed up, they think they're gods. Doctors the same way, lawyers, everybody's God. And the beautiful and the funny thing is we who are don't even want to claim it. That always was sort of stupid to me. Still is. It's a little bit gross if you want to know the truth. It's ridiculous. So, this is why Brother Branham could say the body is jerking muscles and it's not really alive. And say to the Mormon who lost a child prematurely, you're going to see it in heaven. Because the seed, which is the life, and which is the true delineator. See? has begun to fashion through processes a body of the chemicals and those things which are here and God has allotted to them. Now just stop and think a moment how wonderful it would have been if God could have delineated or would have delineated for us what I'm talking about. And we saw ourselves like Jesus come into a theophonic form, come into our true form, which would be an outraying. And the outraying principles would be the matter, which is spirit, and true spirit come forth, true spirit form come forth. Nobody could see it, or come and go. Then come down here and knowingly take on a human form. That'd be fantastic. God didn't want it that way. But he said you can have it all anyway. But it's going to be the way I give it you. See? Now you're learning to understand about God and ourselves and what we're doing in this message here. Now he said this just jerking muscles because it's a body we're talking about. So what is it? A spirit is standing there, allowed by God, permitted by God, but not of God. Our baptizing spirit is of God because it's from God because it is God. But this spirit is allowed of God. And comes in, and when the baby drops from the womb, now the doctors and scientists aren't going to believe this. Who cares about those idiots? Those birds are so smart, there's no such thing as a rheumatologist pretty soon. They found out nobody knows about rheumatism or arthritis. So the rheumatologist he's as dead as the dodo. Oh, he'll want to collect money and say he still is, but he doesn't know. No. What do the doctors know? In 6,000 years, not 20% of the human body. Nobody knows, but we know. We know the mysteries of God by divine revelation. We know, like Jesus said, we know who we are from and where we are going. And we're the only people in history who have that tremendous aspect of the gospel. Not that the others didn't have a part of it. But they didn't have what you and I have. Because this is the glory, Brother Branham said, that doesn't fade. So if you're worried about reaching a plateau in this church where suddenly there are no more plateaus and there's no place to go, you are hindering your faith. And I'm hindering mine. Because His glory cannot fade. And if it doesn't fade, does it just sit there? No! It's got to grow brighter and brighter to the perfect day. The path of the righteous shall shine more and more to the perfect day. And this is the perfect day when the full light has come, but it gets brighter and brighter. Because as Brother Brown has showed, the little prostitute at the well, she was all black with one little white spot. When the light really here and did the work it was supposed to do, she turned all white. We're going to go to the tree of life the same way. All right. The Spirit gives it a body. Now that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. So if you're born again, then it's got to be the Spirit of God that comes unto you in your body and comes to you, the soul, the real life within. Now you're 50% Spirit. Okay. Verse 78, paragraph. Then when a man is born again from heaven, he becomes a Spirit babe in Christ. In other words, as a baby now, has within it every full aspect and potential to be exactly what is there. He starts on the path. Jesus Christ himself grew in stature and favor with God and man. So you and I will do the same thing. And when this robe of flesh is dropped, there is a theophany. Cross out the word natural body. He didn't mean it. Because there's no such thing as a natural body theophany, except in the sense that the body, the theophonic form, was the natural one we should have had. So in the sense it's a natural theophany, you could say that. But I think at this particular point, Brother Branham really didn't mean that. It doesn't matter if he did because each way is good. A body not made with hands, neither born of woman, that we go to. Then that body, the theophonic body or word body, spirit body, returns and picks up the glorified body. That's the reason. Not the word, I don't think Brother Branham should have used the word reason there so much as that's how Jesus went to hell when he died and preached to the souls that were in prison. Now, he could say that's the reason he did it, is on the grounds that he had a theophonic form and he had to go on down there and associate with them also to let them know that they bypassed it and they're going to be like him, because he was like that to begin with, and both of them have glorified bodies. You can put different meanings here to come up the same thing. It doesn't really matter. Turn back into that theophonic form. Oh, marvelous, thank God. In 2 Corinthians, he reads, if this earthly body be dissolved, this earthly tabernacle, we have another one. You see, you have the body that's suited to the nature according to the conditions that are requisite. So I had to fill that in, conditions requisite, because you just can't say that it's suitable to the nature of what lies within the seed. Because the nature of the lying within the seed is holy, holy, holy. Cherubims keeping everything away. Blood and fire, so that nothing gets near God, so holy. Well, if we were in that form, why, man, the whole earth would burn up in front of us. You ever hear scripture how that God, there's a fire goes before him and blackness behind him? Moving God like a flame and fire coming in there. Brother Branham talking of the purifying power of the Holy Ghost. It's got to be that way. God's not going to live in any stench and filth. So God had to let us bypass. See? And as I said, think what this revelation does to us now that we know, although we weren't there to experience it, we bypassed it, to let us know what we can do with this revelation by way of living in the Spirit of God. Now, this is a different message. I'm preaching from do this and do that, or study this and study this, and act this way and act that way, or get this or get that. I'm just saying, think upon these things which are real. And that's where real philosophy comes from. Not some man-made trait and man-made idea. Oh, come on, you don't think for 1 minute that William Branham and these great men of God lived their lives by just devoting themselves. Brother Branham, I'm going to sanctify myself for the coming of the angels. What if God didn't want angels to come? Well, Brother Branham's bones would have been bleaching on the desert, sanctified. Fat. You've got to be congruent with the Word of God. And Brother Branham taught us that there is a congruency. He said, come just like Jesus. Ran a parallel. But he said, you bypassed that. Now, what should the revelation do for us? Well, yeah, I don't understand, but you know how it is. What would happen to more for dinner? Can't be that way. We're not lying in the sun enough. That's the honest truth. Brother Branham was constantly warning us and worried. We'd have just too many other things just to be able to just sit up and notice in church and keep in our hearts and minds. And read the books the same way. Oh, yes, brother. Listen, I use this manuscript just like you use the Bible. Oh, I know that there are certain people like one big shot in Canada, Pete, that wouldn't like that. But Pete and I don't care for these big shots in Canada. We find they ain't so big after all. Unless they eat great big meals in here, where it's 46 suits or size 50. Oh, gosh. You think you've got to listen to me to make the rapture? If you think you've got to hear me, you're nutting a fruitcake. That might not hurt you, but you ain't going to make it by listening to me. The Word of God does it, brother, sister. Because you know why? This will come to pass, not what I say. I'm only trying to help you. Our earthly bodies be dissolved. We got another one. See, we have bypassed that to come straight from God. Notice, we have bypassed that to come straight from God. The attribute to be flesh, to be tempted and tested by sin like Adam was. But when testing of his word is over, then we are taken up. What page? Yeah. We are taken up to this body that was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. You know, like our names on the Book of Life. Now, what kind of a body would come forth for a seed of God except a body fitting for that life? Even as animal bodies, come from animal life. I took that up with you, studied it already. See? So what would be fitting? A theophonic form. It have to be. Because your sons are God, you're going to have God form. Bypass it. Okay, we'll get it later. Once you've been tested. See? Now, a true understanding of that will make us stand like soldiers in our testing. Well, here we're just being tested, not being killed, not being destroyed. No. We're going to come forth, like Job said. See? Like one fellow said, God will drag you through as long as you can stand the drag. All right. A body prepared before the foundation of the world. And I've read that out of Hebrews, you know. Well, now, let's just go back to Hebrews 11 just for a minute anyway. I couldn't get much more than this paragraph done than we can before next Sunday. All right, 11th chapter, verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. So the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. All right, that's true. But they were made of something. And faith lets you know there is an invisible substance somewhere that's the building block of the universe. The Word of God. And that's just simply spoken Word of God from God's mind. That has no theophonic form to it. This piece of paper is not a part of God. I don't care what you say. Well, you say, Brother Bailey, it came out of a tree. Who cares if it came out of a tree or came out of the moon? It's not God. I breathe here. That's not God. That's creation. Now we know that God did it from something intrinsically from the beginning. Some people think it's hydrogen. I'm not going to argue what it is. I just take the Word of God. Said God, the Word of God did it. That's all there is to it. But this is not the Word of God. This is the substance that came by way of a voice. We are something which, and a substance here which came by way of a life. God's own life. And Brother Branham said it came direct from God. In other words, no bypassing. See? So we didn't get a previous experience. We didn't have a previous glory that lay in there. All right. It is the Word there that we skipped and came right down here to be tempted and tested. If we'd have come through that Word body, there'd have been no temptation. Why, couldn't have been. Everything would have just burned in front of us. We'd have known all things. That's the reason Jesus knew all things, because He was Word before He was flesh. That's true. You and I don't come that way. No matter how much Word we learn, we still come by the flesh. And flesh and blood does not know a revelation of God. Flesh and blood cannot know the things of God. But God has given us spirit, even though we are dwelling in flesh and blood, and that can hinder us. The Word of God is greater, and the revelation still comes through. Now, there tonight, no matter what I said, and I've got to bawl you out of bed. I didn't mean to bawl anybody. I just put you on the spot. We're on the spot. Get you interested. Get you picked up. You and I can do it. We can do it. The flesh is not mighty. The Spirit of God's mighty. To the pulling down of the strongholds of Satan. And Satan gets right there in the old man and the body. You know, this age has got us so messed up, you know, we don't even know clean things from unclean things. There's a lot of clean things we call unclean, a lot of clean things and unclean things we call clean. What a mess. We need to get some real frank understanding in our lives and homes. That's what we really need to do, brother, sister. Oh, my, I tell you what. I just long for the millennium, whether I'm going to get there or not. I can tell you flat. I believe I'm going to make it. But if I don't, I'll tell you one thing. I've got a vision and a hope that, bless God, somebody's going to have it. Because I am so sick and tired of this mess here. I'd like to know somebody had something. You know? And that's getting a little bit way down the line now. But we say, well, let somebody else have it then. Bless God, but make sure somebody's got it. That's a little bit like the bride's got the bridegroom, and the bridegroom's got the bride, and the wedding guest stand back. Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? Bless God, if I can just be wedding guest sometimes, isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? I think I'll be pretty happy. Well, I wouldn't be as happy as, you know, the other way, but who knows? See, you just get the upward look and realize this is something wonderful that God's doing. Praise Him. See, when the seals opened, heaven just went into wrath. Down here, who's that in God? That's a riot of praise. believers in Joe Smokehouse. Yep, that's worse than God knows what. Now he said here, then later we become the Word. Paragraph 80. See, well, just a minute, I'm looking through this paragraph up here now. It says here, that's the reason Jesus knew all things. Yeah, I was talking about that. Jesus knew all things because he was there and in the know of all of these great things, where we get everything by the sense knowledge, and the sense knowledge isn't accurate. See? So if sense knowledge isn't accurate, my God, how we need divine revelation. And if we get that, then sense knowledge goes out the window. Thank God. Say, thank God. I don't care about Dr. So-and-so or Reverend so-and-so or anybody else. Anybody ever said, Brother Brown said, I came direct from God. Hallelujah. And as big a skunk as I am or anything else, here I am. I came direct from God. You don't believe it? I do. You don't like it? I do. If you don't want me around, goodbye, Charlie. I won't bore you. That's right. Prophet said so. You and I haven't got it. You and I don't know anything anyway. We bypass the fountain of knowledge. We bypass the one body that could give it to us. So now we're down here in the body that cuts us off. God comes right down with the Holy Ghost and a vindicated token himself and a vindicated prophet, and people stand back and say, well, I don't know. Well, isn't that pitiful? What do you know? Shit, prove something. Fact. Why don't I see if anybody proves something? Prophet proved it thousands of times. He said, I don't know. Well, it could be this. It could be that. Well, fine. What if it could be the truth and you've gone, bud? And I mean you've done gone blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Yeah, he's still here too. Don't anybody think he's gone somewhere because the dead haven't been raised yet. Don't think he's gone. He's putting the church in order. And this, brother, sister, we're getting to learn about the church order because we're going right back to the top now. You talk about heavenly choirs. You know, they said the angels fold their wings while you and I sing. Well, I'm going to tell you one thing about it. They better fold their wings when I sing, whether they like my voice or not, because I'm going to drown them out. That's your attitude and that's mine. That's the way it should be, see? All right. Now, here, he was the Word before he was actually fresh. He was part of the singular manifestation and glory and government of the kingdom of God. This was necessary for him, but not for us, because ours is a future government and glory for the glory of God. Now remember, Jesus had to give glory to God. And once we begin to really conform and give glory to God, there is nothing that God withholds from us. Enter thou the joy of thy Lord. Now, what Brother Branham says here, the reason Jesus knew all things is because he was Word before his flesh, had a theophany body, proves the pre-existence so-called of Jesus, where he was here before we were, and it doesn't make two gods, it makes God and the Son. Now he says here, later we became the Word. Here we are formed to the Word image to be a partaker of the Word, feed on the Word by being predestinated since the beginning. Now that's a big mouthful, that sentence right there. Then we become the Word. That's right. When we pass on, we pick it up. See? Here we are formed to the Word image to be a partaker of the Word. All right. At this particular time, there's a forming going on in our lives. As we partake of the Word of God and feed on the Word of Almighty God, showing us that actually we are fitting ourselves to the image of the original. That's what we're looking at. In other words, we go from image to image, from glory to glory, to the image of the Lord. Now look, let's go back to the book of Hebrews chapter 1. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Now that was Jesus. We bypassed every hope of that in the sense of the complete connection with God and the form from God. But in giving it up, we are allowed to pick it up at the end of the trail. See? So we're going to have it in the measure that God wants it for us, so that we, being the brightness of His glory in our own little position, the expression of a person. We're going to get there. Absolutely going to get there. It's all going to happen to us because we're waiting for it. Now, this is, as Brother Branham said, God did this in order to give himself reason and purpose of being, quoting Irenaeus. It had to be this way. God wanted it. Now, because we go through it, which is the period of Romans, the 5th chapter, of growth and character. There is no limit to what God does for us. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith in verse 1, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have access by faith into this grace when we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. See, rejoice in it. Rejoice in getting that theophonic body, coming back to get the resurrection. And not only we glory in tribulations, and that's trials, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. It does. And patience, character. And character, hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Now it tells you right there that this is the plan that Brother Branham was talking about. Letting us go through the period of being enemies to God. Coming back reconciled to God. Realizing whose sons we are. And he talks about this pretty soon, and we won't get there tonight, about the eagle, little eagle. Always was an eagle, never was a chicken. Never liked the chicken life. There's no eagle here tonight but what hates sin in every shape and form, in yourself and everybody else. But sometimes we get to the place where we hate it in everybody else more than ourselves. Because we've got to justify ourselves. Well, forget that nonsense. No, it doesn't work. So, we read this. Okay. So, we're predestinated from the beginning. Now, the predestination came in the beginning. God allows a time gap. After the time gap, the character, the suffering, fitting us for reigning with him, because we're more like him that way, we come back, pick up the body, reign and rule with him. Now you see that, now watch, you see that little spark of light that you had in you from the beginning, that you had in you. But listen, the body doesn't have it because it gets it when it falls from the womb. Another kind of light. Another spirit. What's he talking about? He's talking about your soul, the gene from God. The little speck of God, the little sperma, the little spora. If you want to make God as a male, it's a sperma. If you want to make God like a flower, it's spora. I don't care what you call it. The Bible calls it spora in 1 Peter. Good enough for me. You see, that little spark of life that you had in you from the beginning, your soul came from God, the gene of God. When you started your journey, many of you can remember it. You joined this church and joined that church. Remember what? Remember when that spark began to assert itself. The light said, hey, I don't want this. Man, I never did want to be a corner drugstore cowboy. I was never down there uptown cutting up the town, smoking and drinking. A lot of people do, but even at that time, I hated myself because I was doing things I shouldn't do even then. You don't have to be a blatant sinner, go out here and maraud and cut up and murder everything else and pretend you're the Apostle Paul. You want to go out and murder a bunch of people to have conviction that you need God. I can tell you one thing, you get a little baby chicken, that chicken doesn't even know it's a little chick. And that old mother, she sees a chicken hawk up there, and the way she begins talking to those chickens, that baby little chick just runs right now. It doesn't, now I'm a chicken, should I run when I hear that? Hogwash. When the eagle hears the scream, it doesn't say, I wonder, should I? I wonder, what? It just screams back. Amen. You hear one wolf howl, wait, another wolf howls. Doesn't say, I think I should howl. Could that be a wolf? Boo! He howls right back. Where a wolf sounds like. That's the same with this here. We're talking about that. See, you started your journey. You joined this church. Oh, man, you talk. I hated joining churches. I told you about that. I couldn't stand it. Thank God I didn't have to take communion. That old gas bag standing up there. The only fun I had in these sermons was pull the wings off of flies. And we take toothpicks, little pins, you know, and you put a bit of cork on each one, and then you put the big old blowfly on a pin, and he sits there, and you put the dumbbells in his hand. You go back and forth. This, you watch him put the dumbbells. And you never mind the preacher saying. Of course, if you're sitting here with me, I got news for you. I wasn't that guy. I'm another guy. I was the guy that sat there and fooled with the flies while that nut talked about God knows what. He didn't know himself. Oh, is he doing up there? What am I doing here? I don't want to talk. I know what I'm talking about. Came right from that pillar of fire. And I can read it right here, and I find it right in my book. Got no problem there, brother, sister, not a bit. All right, he said, that's right. One day you recognized it. That's going to stop right there. Recognizing that you were a seed. I mustn't lose this piece of paper here because I got to use it. That's right. All right, we'll start back. And you know what we did? We got a whole page done. So anybody that worries about 20 sermons, I got news. We're going to take at least 30 on this one. And when we get through with this one, grace of God will take another one. And every one will just dovetail. Brother Brad said, every tape become clear. We won't be looking through a glass darkly, looking right through the unveiled word of Almighty God. Let's rise and be dismissed. Kind Heavenly Father, I want to thank you again for your love, your mercy, and your grace, your goodness, your kindness, everything, Lord. We're thrilled tonight with the word, Lord. I know, Lord, we haven't got the hang of it. I know, Lord, it's all up here in the top of our mouth, not even the top of our head hardly. But God in heaven, we know this. And if we're questioned, we say, well, look, this is what we believe by vindication. This is what we know for the word of the hour by vindication. And this is what we got. We're not going to let go of it by the grace of Almighty God. And if this doesn't take us through, then something else for you guys. Go ahead. But as the prophet said, live or die, sink or swim, this is it. And we thank you for it, Lord. We praise you, God, Father. We're not going to argue about it. We're not going to say, why did the prophet have to preach it, Lord? We're sick and tired of that nonsense coming from us and others. He preached it, God, and we believe it. We believe it's a part of the message. Your brother Branham wasn't some simple little person that puffed up by his own little infinitesimal ego because he had a great ministry to come and say, now listen to me, I got something. Lord, I don't believe that for 15 seconds. I believe the man had something. And I believe, Lord, the best of my believing, that the man was something from you. And this is your word, Lord, and it's going to do the job in this hour, Father. I'm resting in it. I'm trusting it because, Father, I cannot trust in myself or my own word. And I'm praying for me and for every person in this building, Lord, to help us to let every channel into our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirit, whatever, the whole essential being of each one of us, be absolutely full of the word of God until there's nothing in any channel, and then it begins to reverse and flow forth to a dying world. I know, Lord, in the days of Noah, he was that kind of person, and wasn't anybody getting it but seven more people. But he had to have it. And, Lord, we got to have it, too. By your grace, we will have it. And, Father God in heaven, it will take us through. That same pillar of fire is taking us through now with the same word. We thank you for it, Lord. We just ask in Jesus' name. Remember Mary Allison again tonight, Lord. We pray, O living God, that you will absolutely deliver her and help Brian her to come on down here. Think of the Henrys, Lord. If they might be served, Lord, we don't want them just to come for any show, but they've wanted to come, Lord. And if they want to come, we want to help them, Lord. If that's, may your will be done, O God. We think the same with Raj and Carol. So we think of the brother and sister Smith, Lord, knowing the anguish of his heart, Lord, that what he's gone through and going through. We pray for these people, Lord, because they've got problems the same as we had several years ago. And thank God you had hundreds of people praying for you, Lord. Finally came through. We pray for these people too, Lord. May we take their burdens upon us. May we serve them, Lord, knowing we're serving you. Help us, Lord, to for your people, O God, to get together and forget everything that bugs them or bugs anybody else and just get right down to the truth of the Melchizedek priesthood. I'm here not to be served, but to serve. Father, help us to realize that's the true Melchizedek priesthood. Not some ethereal thing that's wafting off in space there, Lord, but nitty-gritty, down-to-earth people that give the glass of water. Just don't know why they're doing it, but they're happy to do it. Visit them in the prisons, the hospitals, give the clothing, pray for the sick, lift up the fallen, care for the dying. Right down the road, being caring, loving people, O God. Not indiscriminate people, Lord, but caring, loving people, serving you, Lord, loving each other. Now, Father, I feel that love of God moving in this church one of these days, Lord. I believe that the sick are going to be wonderfully healed amongst us because of that sweet spirit of Jesus Christ. Go with the Lord, she goes tomorrow. May she take back with her and her home, Lord, all by herself there trying to serve you. Everything she has need of for herself and anybody else that might come by the widow's door. God, give her the widow's might of revelation and love and knowledge. As that little woman did down there, when she had just a little tiny bit of meal and oil, that's all it was needed to take a prophet's message and live right through the days ahead until one day you called her to the theophonic body. Lord, we God, we know that as nobody doesn't have enough to take them through to that day, Lord. We know everybody's got it. Help us to depend upon it and live it now. We commit ourselves to you tonight. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Take the name of Jesus.